privilege to be together that we might once again take up the Bible and together study. We encourage you to open the Word of God and examine three of the most difficult, the most important words for us to say, and those are written on the board before us. I have sinned. What I'd like for us to do is take a look at some people in the Bible who courageously confessed, I have sinned. The first is Pharaoh. When you open the chapters of the book of Exodus, you find the Lord's people afflicted in Egypt. As there arose a new king over Egypt which knew not Joseph and dealt in such a way with the Lord's people that they were afflicted and began to cry out unto God. In freeing his people from their bondage, the Lord brings a series of 10 plagues upon the Egyptians. Water to blood, frogs, lice, flies, death of cattle, boils, hail, locusts, darkness, and the death of the firstborn. After the hail plague, as recorded in Exodus 9, verses 27 through 35, Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and said unto them, I have sinned. Exodus 9 and then verse 27. And then following the plague of locusts, as recorded in Exodus 10, 12 through 20, Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron in haste and said, I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Exodus 10 and in verse 16. And so among those in the Bible who said, I have sinned, Pharaoh said, I have sinned. A second man who came to recognize that he had sinned was Balaam. If you follow me over to the book of Numbers, during the wilderness wandering time, you may remember how Balak, king of Moab, saw all that the Lord's people had done unto the Amorites and was so afraid of the people because there were many, and Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And so he sent messengers to Balaam saying, curse me this people. In Numbers 22, 8 to 13, the Lord answered, thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. But then Balak, being persistent, wouldn't take no for an answer. He sent more messengers to Balaam, saying, curse me this people, in verses 15 through 17. And in verse 21 of Numbers 22, Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. God's anger was kindled against him because he went. An angel stood in the way for an adversary against him. And as he was riding upon his ass and his two servants with him, the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field, and Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself under the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with his staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? And Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in my hand, for now would I kill thee. And the ass said unto Balaam, am not I thine ass upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, nay. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me, and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee, and saved her alive. Now watch verse 34. And Balaam said unto the angel, Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. If you'd been Balaam, would you have said, I have sinned? As he did. Another occasion that finds a man making this confession is the story of the taking of Jericho, when the Lord had instructed the people to keep themselves from the accursed thing, Joshua 6 and verse 18. Achan, however, committed a trespass in that he took of the accursed thing, Joshua 7. And in verse 1, that was not without consequence. As the people of God were on the battlefield with the men of Ai, Israel was defeated in verses 2 through 5. Verse 5 finds Ai smiting of them about 36 men because sin was in the camp. And God said on this occasion, destroy the accursed. Joshua 7, 10 through 15. The Lord said, get up, Joshua. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel has sinned, and they have transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. And then as they are brought before the people, family by family, and ultimately Achan is brought. Notice the Bible says in verse 19 of Joshua 7, Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. Now listen to these words. Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. What have you done, Achan? When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them, and took them, and behold, they're hid in the earth, in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. If you'd been Achan, would you have uttered those words, I have sinned? But not only these made such a confession. King Saul of Israel uttered the words, I have sinned. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, Saul was given a commission to go to Amalek and utterly destroy all. 1 Samuel 15, 1 through 3. But Saul didn't do that. Saul spared the king alive, according to verse 8, and along with the king Agag, the best of sheep and of the oxen, of the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good, it would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. Verse 9. Samuel appears on the scene. And Saul says to him in verse 13, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. But had he? Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? A dead sheep and an ox don't make any noise. And the fact that these were bloating and bleating and lowing indicated that he had disobeyed God. And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. He kindly placed the blame upon the people. And Samuel talked about the fact that God demands obedience. He made that classic statement in verse 22, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And now watch verse 24. And Saul said unto Samuel, what do you say? I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord, and thy words, because I feared the people, and obeyed their voice. Again, we might put ourselves in the place of this king. And had we been confronted with our disobedience, would we have had the courage and the conviction to say, I have sinned. Another example of a man making confession of sin is King David, who followed Saul. In 2 Samuel 11, we read of his sin of adultery with Bathsheba. It came to pass that in an evening, David arose from off his bed, 2 Samuel 11, 2, and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eli, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her. And she returned unto her house. The woman conceived and sent and told David, I am with child. And David then makes some attempts to try to cover up his wrongdoing. And it ended in a man being murdered, as Uriah was put at the forefront of the hottest battle. The men retired from him so he'd be smitten and die. And after that, in verse 26 and 27, when the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned, and when the mourning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife and bare him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. And in chapter 12, Nathan the prophet, sent by the Lord, comes on the scene and begins by telling a little story to David about two men, one rich and another poor, and how the rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and his children, and it was like a pet unto him. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler. He spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. Notice how David felt about that. He was infuriated. The Bible says his anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said, "The man that hath done this thing shall surely die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity." Can you imagine being David when he saw Nathan, and Nathan said to him, "Thou art the man"? He made application of the story to David's personal life. He had sinned in the matter of Uriah and Bathsheba. And thus saith the Lord, "I anointed thee king over Israel. I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon." And he pointed out how the sword would not depart from his house, there'd be consequences. But look at verse 13, when David said unto Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And because he had a penitent heart, the Lord said through Nathan that his sin was be put away. "Yet because by this deed great occasion had been given to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child that was born unto thee shall surely die." Put yourself in David's place, and I'll do the same. Had we met up with Nathan, would we have said, "I have sinned"? Would we have made the confession that he did? "I have sinned against the Lord." Now let's turn to the New Testament. Notice examples of men who said, "I have sinned." Beginning with Judas, who according to Matthew chapter 26 agreed to betray Jesus, the Son of God and Savior of men, for 30 pieces of silver. In Matthew 26 verses 14 through 16. From that time he sought opportunity to betray him. Then as you drop down to verse 47, the Bible finds Judas, one of the 12, coming to Jesus with a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. And Jesus said unto him, "Friend, wherefore art thou come?" Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. In chapter 27, and in verse 3, Judas, which had betrayed him when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, what do you say? "I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood." And they said, "What is that to us? See thou to that." And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed. And he was so overwhelmed by guilt and shame associated with his wrongdoing that he went and hanged himself. If you'd been Judas, would you have come to say, "I have sinned"? In Matthew 27, in verse 4. One more example. The one from which our song that we're going to sing in just a moment as an invitation song comes And that's the prodigal in Luke chapter 15. When the Lord told a story about three lost things, a lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost son. The story of the lost son begins in verse 11 of Luke 15. We find a generous father who divided unto his sons his living, a wasteful son who took his inheritance and went into a far country and wasted his substance with riotous living. When he had spent all, he began to be in want. And notice how bad things get for him. As he's in the fields to feed swine, he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. Verse 16. He would eat what the hogs are eating. Can you imagine having hog slop for lunch? Not very pretty, is it? But he came to himself. And the reason he came to himself is that no man gave unto him. You know, sometimes there are those who are emboldened in their sin because there are those who give to them. And like it or not, there comes a time when we have to practice these words, no man gave unto him, lest we facilitate them in their wrongdoing. He came to himself and he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? He had intentions of going to his father and saying, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And that's as far as it went, right? He just had intentions of doing that. Good intentions. Someone said, I have good intentions. But they never seem to carry out their intentions. It's been suggested that the road to hell is paved with good intentions, as most folks never turn those intentions into actions. But this man did more than intend. He acted. As the Bible says, he arose and came to his father, verse 20. And when he was a great way off, his father saw him. His father knew that he'd left and he's watching for him to come, looking for his return. And he had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And notice what the son said in verse 21. Father, I have sinned. Might I underscore those words? I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Would to God we would demonstrate the kind of reception and forgiveness that we see demonstrated by the father, and not be like the elder brother and get to thinking and demonstrating a disposition, I've never transgressed thy commandment. But we would have that spirit of humility about us, like is demonstrated by the publican in the praying at the temple, when he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The prodigal said, I have sinned. Luke 15 and verse 21. And he didn't go into a lot of detail as to I've done this and that and this and this. He just said, I have sinned. And if I had been the prodigal, would we have had the courage to say, I have sinned? And surely God is represented in this story by the Father. And he's watching for us to return. And when we do, there will be rejoicing. In verse 32, it was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. And so seven occasions when folks in the Bible said, I have sinned. Pharaoh, Balaam, Achan, King Saul, King David, Judas, and the prodigal son. And as these folks, surely you and I today, right here in Terre Haute, Indiana, on a Sunday afternoon, need to have the courage and the conviction to say, I have sinned. You know, the Bible teaches in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, all have sinned. You know anybody that leaves out? All have sinned. That means you sinned. I've sinned. And we're all in the same boat. John talked about that same idea in 1 John chapter 1 and in verse 8. When he said, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. When we sin, we need to have the courage and the conviction to say, as these said, I have sinned. Maybe you've got to thinking about that and you realize that there's sin in your life that you've not made correction of, and you need to utter those words that are written on the board, I have sinned. If it's of a private nature, you can take care of that privately with God. Just to call upon God and to say, I have sinned. To repent of it and to ask for His forgiveness. If it's of a public nature, then you need to make that corrected publicly. And you can do that by saying, I have sinned. Would you pray for me? Remember Simon, who sinned in thought? He thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money, and he was told, repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. It may be that you need to say, I have sinned. God is calling the prodigal. Won't you come now as we stand and sing the song?
God is calling the prodigal, come with.